Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship this evening. This is the Tuesday night of Holy Week. That's a week we take to think about Easter and from the start, Palm Sunday of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, right through to his death, and his resurrection and on. So this is an important week for us to keep thinking about and wandering our way through, and we also have young people here who are going to be helping us in the service. So let's just start off with a reading from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. A call to worship. One thing I seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord. So as we dwell in the house of the Lord, we also have to think about our intimations. Ross thought I'd forgotten, but not at all. Starting to include this one now because it is more and more important. So in the event of an emergency, it's unlikely you hear the fire alarm in the sanctuary, except if instructed otherwise, you should proceed to the front doors of the church. And if you're, so that'd be through these doors, and obviously officers, leaders would help young people through, out through the two doors, out the front door, and we would meet up in the car park up by the school. If we're in the halls at the time, then it's the side doors that we would leave by. That's across that way and the other side. But you would be directed at all times. We had tea and coffee after the service. Just a great time just to be together and to chat together. And for the rest of the services, we've got Wednesday night and Thursday night. Monday, Thursday is a joint communion service. And we'll welcome friends from the High Kirk as well. And at 7:30 on Friday night, Good Friday, is a High Kirk services. Easter reflections, Wednesday and Thursday, 12:15 at High Kirk Halls. And again, 19th, that's a repeat of the 7:30 at High Kirk. And on the 20th, Saturday night, 7:30 in the High Kirk Halls, the Hope Choir. So there's a few things going on. And then Sunday morning, who wants to be up at 7 in the morning? Okay. All right. Might be Dave Naymates down at Stevenson Point then. We have a wee service, short service down at Stevenson Point on Easter Sunday morning. I'm just praying it's going to be good weather. And at 8 o'clock in the morning we have breakfast, and then 10:30 shared service here. These are all our intimations, and just by way of an introduction, we just take time to sit and watch a video. If you know the words, you want to sing along, that's great. If not, just listen in. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
As we explore this week, we begin to understand why we need to thank God for the cross, to thank Jesus for the cross. But we'll look at a wee bit more about that later on. Now it's your time to be involved. Let's sing, let's stand all together and sing. Come on and celebrate. In prayer.
Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you in worship, praise, thanksgiving, and remembrance. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. We come recalling that last week in the life of Jesus, and it all teaches us of him, his faithfulness to the last, his willingness to take the way of the cross, his courage in the face of opposition, suffering, and death. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. We come consecrating our lives to his service, committing ourselves to his cause. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. We come thankful for all he has done and continues to do, celebrating his great love. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. We come acknowledging him as our Lord and Saviour and desiring to be his true disciples. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. Receive now this time of worship that we offer to you and speak through it so that we may grow in faith and be strengthened in your service. Open our hearts to the presence of Christ and lead us in his way. Loving God, we have come together in this Holy Week to remember that last week in the life of Jesus before his death, to remember the events from Palm Sunday through to Good Friday and on to Easter, to remember the faithfulness that went all the way to the cross, even as the crowds and his closest friends deserted him. Open our eyes to the wonder of your love. We have come to remember, but more than that, we have come so that we might understand the extent of your grace, the cost of our redemption, the pain of body, mind and soul endured by Jesus, everything he means for us and all people. Open our eyes to the wonder of your love. Loving God, help us both to remember and to understand so that we may live in the light of Christ and follow faithfully in his way. Open our eyes to the wonder of your love and hear us, we pray, together using the words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, John. And our scripture reading this evening is from Colossians 2, and starting at verse 6. So listen each one for the word of God. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word, and to him all glory, honour and praise. So let's stand to worship again. It's another song and a video. See What a Morning.
Filled with light and plenty. Honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with Him. Death is dead, love is won, Christ is conquered. And we shall.
Okay, we're going to have a short reflection. If Alexander comes forward, he's going to do that for us.
Jesus and his friends went to the temple. There was a queue of people waiting to give their offering. They dropped their coins into a hole in the temple wall, and the coins clattered down into a money box below. "Come and stand with me by the wall," said Jesus to his friends. "I have a counting problem for you. If you listen closely, you can hear how many coins each person has given. Let's see who gives the most." The first person was a merchant. He looked very rich indeed. As he dropped in the coins, Jesus' friends counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 10 coins, said one of Jesus' friends. "Not bad, but I bet someone will do better." And someone did. The next man was a lawyer. He was even better dressed. And Jesus' friends had to count more quickly as the coins went clattering down. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, and 20. 20 coins, said another of Jesus' friends. "Twice as many as the first man." Then a third man walked up to the wall. He was the richest of them all, and what is more, he was one of the religious leaders. "Watch out for this one," Jesus whispered to his friends. "The religious leaders like to send their coins rattling into the money box just as loudly as they can, so that people will be impressed with what they give." And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. The religious leader reached into his money bag and scooped up a handful of coins. They rattled down so quickly that Jesus' friends could hardly count them. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. "We give up," cried Jesus' friends. "But at least we know the answer to your question. No one is going to give more than that man." And then they turned to walk away. "Just a minute," said Jesus. "There's one more person waiting." It was an old woman, a widow, dressed all in black. She pulled two tiny coins out of her purse. "I wish I could give more," she whispered to God, "but this is all I have." And she dropped the coins, 1, 2, into the hole. Jesus looked at his friends. "Does anybody want to change their answer?" he asked. "No," said Jesus' friend. The third man gave the most. "Really?" grinned Jesus. "But what about the woman?" "The woman?" his friends chuckled. "The woman put in only 2 coins. We can count, you know." "I know," said Jesus, "but those were the only 2 coins that she had. The others put in more coins, that's true, but they had plenty more in their pockets and in their money boxes at home. But the woman gave everything she had, don't you see? It all adds up. The woman dropped in the fewest coins, but in the end she gave the most of all."
Thank you. We'll sing again, but John's going to show us the actions. Alleluia, alleluia. Over to you.
Right, so you might know this one. It's not really actions, but I'm going to draw an imaginary line down the middle. Okay, so everyone on this side, on one side, you can go whatever side you want.
Yes.
This side you're going to be the Alleluia. This side you're going to be the Praise Ye the Lords. Okay, so you maybe know this one, we're going to hear it first, I think.
I think that went so well. No, because I'm tired. We're going to have our prayers for others now, and Jan and Lucy. So you'd like to come out and lead us in prayer.
Is it this microphone?
That one.
I'm getting up starting here, mind you. Can I just open the paper that is? Loving God, we praise you for the ministry of Christ, his faithfulness to his calling, his denial of self, his willingness to face even death itself, that we might find the true meaning of life. Help us to be faithful to him, even as he has been faithful to us. Forgive us that our commitment to him is so poor, our faith in him often skin deep, our lives a denial of everything we profess to believe. Help us to be faithful to him, even as he has been faithful to us. Help us to understand what it means to follow Christ, what is involved in confessing him as Lord, what is entailed in being his church. Help us to be faithful to him, even as he has been faithful to us. Help us to live as his people, recognizing the cost, but also the reward of discipleship. Help us to be faithful to him, even as he has been faithful to us.
Loving God, we have come together in this holy week to remember. To remember that last week in the life of Jesus before his death. To remember the events of Palm Sunday through the Good Friday on Easter. And to remember the faithfulness that we went all the way to the cross, even as his crowd of his closest friends deserted him. Open our eyes to the wonder of your love. We have come to remember, but more than we can have come so that we might understand the extent of your grace. The cost of our redemption, the patience of our body, mind and soul endured by Jesus. Everything he means for us and all the people, open our eyes to the wider of your love. Loving God, help us to both remember and to understand, so that we may live in the light of Christ and follow faithfully in his way. Open our minds to the wonder of love, for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's sing together, as we can, every promise of your word.
From the breaking of the dawn to the the setting of the sun. I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. When I stumble and I sin, condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I stand on every promise of your word. Get to promise of your word. When I'm faced with anguished choice, I will listen for your voice, and I stand on every promise of your word. Through this dark and troubled land, you will guide me with your hand. As I stand on every promise of your word. And you've promised to complete every work begun in me. So I stand on every promise of your word.
Just take a moment to pray again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us and every promise that's contained in your word. And Lord, we ask your spirit now just to lead us to open up your word to us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. On Sunday morning, I started to talk about a young man who started off as he left school, he went to find his way into a job. He was involved in all the stuff young people would be involved in youth groups and all sorts of things, and he had been through school. And actually, what happened was, as he got to go through life, it's these things that became the thing that he marked his life on. And so, as he worked in the job, it was the people that were around him, and he was in a legal profession, but it was the people around him that started to influence him. And this is what we see in life. And they started to make an impact on what he was doing and what he was thinking and how he was working and how he lived his life, his social life. And when he got married and started to look at how that all the things that he knew became the normal for how he lived. And one of the things that he completely missed out was anything to do with church, with understanding who God was. He didn't have that at all in his life. Sure, there had been moments, but he didn't have that in his life. And you know, when the time came that he made a decision for God and he turned to Jesus, things began to change. Last night we tried to look at why did Jesus die? And tonight it's what's the difference Easter makes? Well, as I've said before, this young man was involved in the legal profession, and so law, legislation, was just up his street. So he knew what things were, black and white. He knew that it was right to do this, it was wrong to do that. If you broke that law, this is what happened. He knew all that. And kind of lived his life to that. But actually, there's a change that comes. There's a wee change that comes when we start to think about what Jesus did for us and the difference Easter makes. And it's this. When we go back into that scripture I read, now I could ask you questions on it, couldn't I? On that scripture that I read at the beginning of the sermon, I could ask you questions on it, couldn't I? Yeah. I could. Would you be able to answer it? I don't think so, because it's difficult. That's actually quite a difficult reading. Some of the readings in the Bible are really quite straightforward, but this is a bit more complex, a wee bit more difficult. So I'm going to only bring in one point out of all this, because I think that's the most important point. In the beginning with people, with Moses, actually Moses was given the law, and the people then followed the law that God gave them. And they followed that, but they actually followed it and then kind of made bits up for themselves. And as things went on, then it became more important to do things the right way, according to the law, almost like regulations, according to the law. And you know, there's ways that we do things, and sometimes there's ways we have to do things that everyone understands what that's all about. But what God was saying here, through Jesus, was when it comes to worshipping, when it comes to Jesus, actually, it's more important to try and understand who Jesus is. He, in the scripture, it talks about how he took away the legal indebtedness. He took that from us. Jesus took all these things from us. When it comes to understanding who he is, actually, it became more about knowing who Jesus was in our hearts. So that whole legal thing kind of started to go away. And Jesus made a change in that. And that's, he did that by, first of all, giving up his life. We've sung about thank you for the cross, and we've seen images of the cross, but Jesus gave up his life. And he died on the cross, but that wasn't the end of the story, because he rose again, he came to life again, and then he went to be with God. But in doing that, he changed everything, because all of a sudden He released us from being held by law to thinking about who Jesus is. The difference that we get from Easter now is the fact that we can actually have a relationship, a time, get to know Jesus. And one of the prayers that made reference to discipleship, and that's about following Jesus and following his ways. And he releases us through releasing us from that legal side and to just be able to follow him. And you know, when we follow him, we do things his way, not because we have to, because we want to, because Jesus has already done so much for us that our response becomes one of, we want to do this. So it's not that we have to do this, but we want to do this. And I just want you to remember, when we start to think about the difference that Easter makes, it makes so much difference. This has only been one point, and it makes so much difference. But actually, things move from have to want to. And for that young man, things changed completely when he realized that actually, this wasn't about things that God said you had to do. This was now about wanting to follow Jesus because Jesus loves us first and gives up his life for us. Let's just take a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word to us. Well, thank you, Lord, for your ways. And we thank you that you gave us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again. And Lord, as we work our way through this week, may we know you more and more. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's sing together, In Christ Alone. Let's stand to sing. Thank you. So Lewis is going to give us our closing prayer. And at the end of that, I'm going to give a wee short grace. Then you come, and then there's a wee bit of involvement for you. So when I say, "And all God's people said," you reply, "Amen." We got that? All God's people said,
"Amen."
There we go.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you continued on your way, fulfilling the purpose for which you came, despite hostility, opposition, rejection, and persecution. You walked the way of the cross, standing up for what you knew to be right, despite the cost. You refused to take the easy way, the way of least resistance, preferring instead to offer your life for the life of the world. You gave your all, holding nothing back, no sacrifice too great, willingly enduring the agony of the cross to set us free. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your courage and faithfulness, your compassion and immeasurable love. Help us, as we meet now, to recognise more clearly all we owe to you, and so commit ourselves more fully to your service, for your name's sake. Amen.
And so, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one now until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.